for us this morning, and I'm excited to. Even though I may be under the weather or whatever is going on, I choose to praise the Lord with you all today, keeping my germs to myself, but you know, I'm hoping that it does stay to myself. I have hand sanitizer next to me. Praise God for all those who have cough drops. I see people pulling out bags of cough drops. I went to Stewart's this morning, picked out a whole bag myself, and then this pulpit is, so we're all set there. I'm excited for today. It's going to be a lot of fun. Powerhouse prayers. Pastor Ray has been preaching on this topic for the past 2-3 weeks, and we're going to finish the series next Sunday. And again, I felt compelled to add a fourth point to powerhouse prayers. Last week, or the first Sunday of the series, he talked about eye-opening prayer. And he focused on Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 to 18. It says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which you are called, the riches of his glorious inheritance of his holy people. So we talked about this verse of how we're praying that the wisdom and the revelation will enlighten our hearts, that our eyes are being opened to what the Spirit of God is doing. And last week, he talked about the fruit-bearing prayers and how in Colossians chapter 1, verse 10 to 12, it says, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have a great endurance and patience and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. And so he took these two prayers and he spoke it based on the Apostle Paul and how he was writing to the churches, not just simply to the church of Ephesus, but to the church, global church. And in Colossae, he was focusing on this church in Colossians and he was saying you can bear much fruit and to see the glory of his inheritance. And today, God, I felt compelled to add a third point called illuminating prayers from John chapter 1. Verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made, and that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Today we're going to be talking about illuminating prayers. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful time you've given us. Some of us are under the weather, and some of us are here this morning fully present. Others are traveling and watching from live stream. We may be all coming from all different backgrounds, but God, we are in your presence, and we desire to hear from you. God, I'm reminded of that scripture, I may not have the might, I may not have the strength, but it is the Spirit of God that brings that illumination, that light that comes from your word. And I pray that you enlighten our hearts with all wisdom, with all revelation. Father, it's for your glory and your honor. So speak your word this morning as we talk about your word, how it has become light in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When John was talking about this verse, John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And so in this analogy, he's coming back to Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 2, where it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So you have this parallel where John, thousands of years later, is being reminded how the Word is God, and in the beginning, God created. And so it simply says, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. There was nothing there. It was empty. There was just simple darkness. It was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. You have God, and that's it. That's all that there was beyond creation, beyond all that was existed. God was in the very beginning, and he's the one who created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth and the heavens was formless and empty, and darkness was over the face of the deep. and the Spirit of God. So you see the Holy Spirit being painted here, how it's hovering over the waters. The next verse, it says this: on the first day, God simply said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good. And he separated the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. There was evening, and there was morning, the very first day. I look at this scripture, and it's interesting where we think about God said that there be light, and God saw that the light was good. Is this the sun? Is this the moon? Is this the stars? What is this light that he's talking about? The second day we read that God created vegetation, or he divided the waters, created the sky and the ocean. And the next day God said, spoke and land into existence. And then on the land, God spoke into vegetation. But on the fourth day, it said this: let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them serve as signs to mark in sacred times, day and years. Let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on earth. And it was so. So there's two points in the beginning where he's talking about the light. The first one, he says, God spoke it and there was light. So what is this light he's talking about on the first day? The fourth day, he says, God said, let there be lights in the vault. So he's talking about the stars here. He's talking about the signs. He's talking about making sacred days and years. Let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth. And then the next verse, it says this: God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, to separate light from darkness. God saw that it was good, and it was evening. There was morning on the fourth day. So I can only imagine, and I'm thinking I'm not that old. I wasn't born when God created the world. But I'm imagining if there's two separate lights happening. The first one, God said, let there be light. And if John is accurate, in John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, then darkness has not overcome it. Then I have to realize, or I have to understand, the first light he's talking about is Jesus himself. So God, in the beginning, created the whole heavens and earth. And he saw that the earth was empty and formless, and there was darkness covering. And the first thing he said was, let there be light. Jesus is God, and the Holy Spirit was hovering. So you have the Trinity, the triune God, even from the very beginning. If John is accurate and correct, and we all know that he is, that in the beginning was this word is God, this word was God, this word became flesh and dwelt among men. So this word that God spoke is Jesus. And the first day was the light that was being shown in the middle of the midst of the darkness. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. It's amazing to think that Jesus from the very beginning always existed and is the one that created the light and the life for us. The psalmist writes this: the Lord is my light and my salvation. And we know that it is through Jesus that we are saved. So then whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And I think to myself, like, if God is truly this light, how can I not be in relationship with him? He is my light. He is my salvation. There's nothing I shall be afraid of. God does not give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. So I too am to live in this light. Whom shall I be afraid? Psalmist writes in Psalms 119 verse 101 that your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, I don't have the object illustration table, but you know me, I can't come out with nothing. I have a little tiny flashlight. This little yellow guy says, your word is a light, a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. I'm imagining this little flashlight. If I know God's word and I'm reading his word and I'm understanding and I hear that his word is light, okay, well, I have a little light. And that little light is giving me a pathway to see, a place to begin, a place to start in having a relationship with God. I have clear answers from the word, but this little light, it's little. There's bigger lights in existence where if I have this mega huge light that's 1,000 illumination, whoa, this guy is strong. I won't shine your faces. This guy is strong. The word of God is so much deeper than just a simple light. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So I want you to understand this imagery with me. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and there was empty, it was formless, there was darkness covering the face, and God spoke the word and let there be light. So in the middle of all the darkness, light existed. Now this was 1,000, I don't know, whatever, 1,000 lumens. I was like, is there anything stronger? This is 90,000 luminous. I have no idea what that means. But this is pretty strong. This even zooms out. Right? You know? Anyways, I have fun with illustrations. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I think of his word, the psalmist continues to write, your word is unfolding. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. When I draw closer to God, I may begin here. I may continue here, but there's so much more that God desires and wants to do. The more I hear the words of God, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh, and it dwelt among men. The Word became life, and that life is the light to all mankind. So when I'm walking in that darkness, whom shall I be afraid? I have the powerful light of Jesus living inside of me. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. How do I turn this off? For God, we can turn the lights back on. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who spoke it said, let light shine out of darkness. And he made his light shine in our hearts to give us the knowledge and the light of his glory displayed on the face of Christ. It's amazing when we have a relationship with Jesus and we see the words of Christ unfolding, the light becomes stronger and stronger, that his light shines in our hearts. And it's the knowledge of his glory. It's not people who see me anymore. They see Jesus. I remember talking to a friend 2 weeks ago, and she was telling me she was at a restaurant. And she was, you know, having a meal with her husband, and she was enjoying her meal. And after the meal was done, somebody random came up to her and said, wow, there's something different about you guys. There's something special about you. All that she was, maybe she prayed a prayer right before a meal, but there was a light that was so strong coming out of her spirit that strangers came and felt that presence of God. Is the words of Christ unfolding in our hearts that people see the glory of Christ in us, that in the midst of all the darkness around us, is the light shining in our hearts? You see, Jesus is the word spoken by God, and the word is the light. Jesus is the word. There's no doubts about it. Jesus says, I am the light. Jesus says, I spoke it into existence. Jesus said from the beginning, I was there and I am God. And through me, all things were made. I am the word and the word is the light. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And sometimes I feel like if I don't pray, if I don't read my word, you can come to Sunday services all we like. But until I get to that prayer closet, until I wake up each morning and I say, God, I need that fresh daily bread from you, that's only how I walk in the light. I will never walk in darkness, because it says whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. You can't have both darkness and life. In Psalms 23, one of my favorite scriptures, it says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. His light is with me. His presence is with me. I will fear no evil. God, the Lord of all universe, the Lord who spoke it into existence, is with me. So whenever I walk through this darkest valley, I know that I'm not alone. We want to focus on the last part of John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In four different translations, in New King James Version, it says, the darkness did not comprehend it. And in the NLT, it says, the darkness can never extinguish it. In the NASB, the New American Standard Version, it says, the darkness did not grasp it. And one of my favorite versions, The Voice, where the translation simply is writing as if this is God speaking to us. A light that thrives in the depths of darkness, blazes through murky bottoms. It cannot and will not be quenched. You see, this light that Jesus is painting is not just a simple flashlight that shines out the darkness. The darkness cannot even grasp a hold of the power of Jesus' presence. The darkness did not comprehend it. It can't extinguish it. The darkness cannot grasp it. This light that thrives in the depths of darkness, it cannot and will not be quenched. This is the power of our Savior. This is the power of our God's light. This is the light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid of? This is the presence of God that dwells in my heart, that shines for His glory. His light overcame the darkness. His light overcame the darkness. And I don't know what darkness we may be feeling this morning. Maybe you have that weight of the shame and the guilt, the sin. Maybe you feel like everything is going wrong. But let me tell you, if you're following Jesus, you will never walk in darkness. His light has overcome it. It is finished. It is done. Jesus paid the price on that cross and gave us that victory. It's through Jesus that we're able to overcome what's thrown our way. This is the verdict. The bottom line is, light has come into this world. But people love the darkness instead of the light because of the deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light. And we will not come into light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. You can't have both darkness and light. You can't be lukewarm where you're saying, okay, a little bit of this and a little bit of that. I can just come to church on a Sunday and repent and all is forgiven. Yeah, all is forgiven. But Jesus is asking, if you're really following me, you won't live in darkness. You're going to live in that light of my freedom, my liberty. Are you walking with me? Are you talking with me? Are you living in that light? Everyone who does evil hates the light. And I was challenged. I was convicted. Because sometimes being a pastor, you can, you know, pray the prayers. You can read your scriptures. You can do all the Christian things. But I really needed to focus in and say, God, is my heart, is my motives pure? Am I doing this out of arrogance or pride? Or am I really doing this because I genuinely desire to worship you? My heart's ambition is to give him the glory. Even standing on the stage, I could have easily texted somebody else saying, I don't want to do this. I don't have the energy. But it's for him. Unto him be all the honor and glory. And I'm not trying to be boasting in myself. I only boast on Jesus Christ. It's his light that shines in and through me. So who am I that the God of heavens is mindful of? That God created this world and he's spoken into existence. So I get to shine his light. So bright. I have come into this world as a light, so that one who believes in me should not stay in darkness. So that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Jesus has come for everyone. It's our choice if we want to believe in him or not. It's our choice if we want a relationship with him, to walk with him daily. It's our choice that whoever believes in him should not walk in darkness, but have this everlasting light. Matthew 6:22-23, it says this: the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So think about this imagery for a moment. If your eye is the lamp of your body, what are you watching? What are you looking at? What are you perceiving? What's your perspective? What do you feed yourself with? If God is real, and if this God of this universe so loved me so much that he willingly gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him, if this God truly is who he says he is, then how can I let my eyes stray away from anybody but him? When Jesus walked on water, he looked to Peter and he said, Peter, take that step of faith. But then Peter, started walking. He saw the miracle happening, but then his eyes went to the storms around him, went to culture, went to things. Well, like, oh my goodness, I'm about to fall. And he started drowning, but Jesus reached out. Oh, ye of little faith, keep your eyes fixed on me, the author and the finisher of your faith. Your eyes are unhealthy. Jesus is asking us, is your eyes fixed on me? Is your eye, if the eye is the lamp of the body, then your eyes needs to be healthy. 1 Peter 2:9, it says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of this darkness into his marvelous light. God has gifted you with a plan and purpose. You are set apart. You are chosen. You are a part of that priesthood. You are a holy nation, a people of his own possession. You are his child. He loves you. He called us out of that darkness into his marvelous light. And then, Jesus continues talking to the disciples. Yes, I am the light of the world. But he challenges them, says, no, you are the light. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to the Father who is in heaven. When Jesus resides in our hearts, you are this light to others, that you are to stand strong and shine your light so bright rather than being covered and covering that light that's in you. Peer pressure and pressures of this world, colleagues and co-workers may make fun of us and may make ridicule us for being a Christ follower. Society says, Jesus is just a teacher. Jesus is just another good man. No, Jesus is the Son of God who came into this world for my sin, to redeem me, to set me free. And I can shine that light to you. You are chosen. You are a royal priesthood. You are to shine your light so bright that they may see your good works and give glory to God who is in heaven. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, so that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. We're crying out and praying for that end time revival. We're praying for God to come back and to bring us back to him. Oh, I would love to go to heaven now. I would love to go. But Jesus says, I can only come back when the ends of the earth has heard the gospel message of Jesus Christ. It can't just be us pastors who are preaching the word. It can't just be us leaders who are shining the light. It takes the whole church body. When you realize that you are royal, you are a priesthood, you are a holy nation, you are part of the city, it takes every person in this city to shine your light so bright to see a difference made all around here in the Schoharie Valley. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, for those who have never heard the message of Jesus. We have the light, so let's shine. He is the Word, and His Word is the light. His presence has overcome the darkness. We have this love of Jesus. Let's shine. Let's not hold back. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in this world. We can get so caught up in what divides our perspectives and in our points of view. We can get so disunified. But if we realize that Jesus is the center of all that we say and do, that it is through Him that we have hope, healing, and wholeness, then we are able to be grounded in the firm foundation of His grace and shine that grace to others. So do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that we may be blameless and innocent as children of the light in a crooked and twisted generation among whom we shine as lights in the world. You may be the only light in the place you work. Are you shining so bright? You may be the only light in your college, in your schools, in your environments, in your communities. Are you shining so bright? This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaimed to you, that God is light. In Him, there is no darkness at all. So if we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. God is light. Let us not lie, but practice the truth. Let us not be hypocrites, but truly live in light of His return and of His glory. Let us truly say, Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Though even though I may walk through the valleys of darkness and death, I will fear no evil. God, You are with me. So my eyes are fixed on You. If we're thinking about these illuminating prayers, you may be asking, well, how does this apply to my prayer life? How does this apply in this illumination? When I pray, I want to make sure that I'm not just begging God for the next thing. I want to remind my soul of His word, of saying, this is who my God is. My God is Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. My God is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. My God is Jehovah Nisi, the God who will never let go of me. My God is El Shaddai, who's always with me. My God is Emmanuel. When I remind my soul that power and that presence illuminates within me, that I'm no longer walking in darkness, I am walking in that light. So I ask you this morning, when you pray, are you praying God's word? In order to pray God's word, you got to know the word. Are you reading His word? Or are we just reading all the news and all the media and saying, woe is me? Let's remind ourselves of who this mighty God is. Strip away that darkness and let His light shine in us so bright that the world sees Jesus and doesn't see me any longer. One final verse from 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 5. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We're not of the night or of the darkness. We're children of the day. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God, and God said, let there be light. And there was day, and there was evening. God spoke it. His Word is true. His Word is light, and that light gives us life. We are His children. You're children of the day, not children of the evening or the darkness. You're His wonderful child.